T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, hi, this is Jeff Salkin for Eye in the Community again. We have two very special guests with us back in studio, Dr. Samir Nair, a well-known orthopedic surgeon, and Dr. Himanshu Patel, who specializes in family medicine. Both doctors are affiliated with and represent Choice Medical Group, the Victor Valley, California area's only locally owned and operated medical group for over 26 years. Last time during a segment that we did on healthy aging, Dr. Nair and Dr. Patel had some excellent suggestions for our listeners about today's healthcare environment and what to think about to stay healthy or to get your family healthy and your kids and yourself. Today's topic will cover how to prepare for a doctor's visit, especially if it's a new doctor visit. Dr. Nair and Dr. Patel are well-known healthcare experts and caregivers. So welcome back to Eye on the Community, doctors.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having us again.
Before we actually start talking about our topic, could you introduce yourself again to our listeners and let them know a little bit about your backgrounds, mm-hmm. Your specialties, and why you chose healthcare as a calling?
Dr. Samir Nair, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. Did a fellowship in adult reconstruction. So just returning back to the high desert. We enjoyed our first session with you, Jeff. So thanks for having us back in the
most welcome. Thank you.
My name is Himanshu Patel. I graduated from the University of Alabama, family medicine. I was a chief resident there. I picked family medicine because it covers pediatrics all the way to geriatrics. It's something that I enjoy. I get a piece of everything. Keeps me on my toes. I have to continue learning, and it allows me to see a variety of patients. I never get bored. And I actually get to be a health coach to my patients, and I absolutely love it.
What I want to share with our listeners, because I get to tell you this since I'm facilitating our conversation, these are two very caring, passionate people. And you know, whenever I've gone to my doctor, one of the things I rely on as a patient, mm-hmm. is trust.
Correct.
Right. The reason I continue to go back to my primary care doctor is because through the years, I've really grown to trust him. And that's something that maybe important for those folks that already go to a doctor, that's the reason or one of the reasons they go.
Right.
But for today's topic, there are probably a lot of folks out there who may not go to a doctor, or if you are unsatisfied and you're thinking about changing a doctor or even going to a specialist or a new doctor, we want to kind of help our listeners today figure out what do I need to do to make that decision to do that.
Correct.
So I'd like to start with, how should people prepare for a new doctor's visit?
If you don't mind, I'm going to take
this. I think you should start first.
Well,
go for
it. As a family doctor here. So and then we'll get to the specialist section as well. And I'm sure Dr. Samir Nair has a lot of suggestions about that. Well, see, with doc visits, you know, I kind of break them down into as a new patient. Is this normal follow-up visit, or is it a sick visit, or is it a visit that you're coming back to your primary after you saw a specialist? So, and then there's additional visits too, which we go post-hospital visits. For instance, if you were sick in the hospital and you're following up with your primary care, that's a very important type of visit, which I'll talk about as well. Well, the new visit, starting off with the new visit, when you're starting off with a new doctor, you know, you may have been with someone else, let's say 10, 20 years, or even just a year. And there's multiple things that primary doctor has done for you or has worked up for your conditions. So if you want to make that transition transition smoother, the best thing is have a list of your conditions, when you were diagnosed with those conditions, have a list of the medications you're taking, what the milligrams, how when you start taking the medications, your allergies, family history. And most important in family history, I do want to touch on this, is what we're looking for are things that can be passed down from generation to generation or put you at a risk for certain diseases. And the big one is premature cardiac disease. So if you have first degree relatives who are passing away or have had heart attacks at the age of 50 or younger, that's an important information that we want to know. You know, and then sometimes, you know, some patients come in, they're like, yes, heart disease does run my family. And then they tell me that, you know, their parents and grandparents died at the age of 99. I mean, that's not as relevant as the family history of someone passing away at the age of 50 from heart or stroke, because that just means that you're at a higher risk. And it tells us how aggressive we have to be at controlling or evaluating for certain conditions that you may have. And prevention is key at that point. So having this list of your conditions, what you were diagnosed with, what imaging, even images that you've already got, meaning radiology.
I was going to ask you what imaging means.
Correct, and CT scans. So that way the office can start doing the work as well and start searching for it. You know, we have to always get consent from the patient, of course. But if you have this written down, even on a piece of paper, some people type it up, which has made the visit just smooth. It helps us understand your health picture as a whole and what we're going to do going forward. That's a very important thing for preparing for a new visit with a new doctor.
For let's say for moms and dads, or moms and or dads who are in their 20s or 30s, who have younger children, being a family doctor.
Correct.
Who deals with pediatrics.
Correct.
And with geriatrics.
Correct.
For really young children, can you touch a little bit on if somebody has a 3-year-old or an 8-year-old and
coming in as a new patient?
Coming in as a new patient, because I don't remember when I was 3 or 5, but I probably wasn't happy that I was scared of needles, or
yes,
I had preconceived notions about, you know, what was going to happen to me as a little guy.
Right.
Can you touch on that a little
bit,
doctor?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you do come in, or you're bringing in a child to a new patient, I mean, as a new patient to the doctors, you do want to bring in their birth history. You know, well, one thing it's was there any complications? If it's someone that, if the child is younger, you know, if they're in, let's just say 8 months, at that point, there's a few things I'm looking for. Is there developmental milestones? And we need the history. Was there any complications before, during the pregnancy, or even after the pregnancy? And I mean, most mothers will be able to tell me right offhand, like, hey, what was going on? But if you have that information ready, how many weeks was the child born at? Was it full term? Was it preterm? Was it late preterm? Where did you have any gestational diabetes? Did you have during your pregnancy? These things help us kind of direct the questions as well, you know, and kind of follow up with what things we have to order, what things we have to look out for. Now, developmental milestones, all that means is the child hitting certain physical milestones, mental milestones, emotional milestones, social milestones, and was there any issue? So that way we can address the problem right early rather than later. And so that's very important for our child visits, or we call them well child visits.
Yeah, speaking of well child visits, there's a term that I hear regularly that's being used in the healthcare industry, mm-hmm. wellness.
Yes.
You know, when I was growing up, we didn't use the term wellness, it was illness.
Yeah.
And even though I kind of know, and most of our listeners will probably be able to give their own definition, mm-hmm. could, as doctors, you touch upon what does wellness mean as part of thinking about, if I am going to a doctor, I need to continue, but if I'm not going to a doctor, and I need to figure out how do I prepare to go to a doctor,
right,
how does wellness fit into that decision-making for patients or future patients?
So my definition of wellness, when I think of the word wellness, I think it's the state of being in good health. It's an active process of becoming aware of and making choices toward a healthy and fulfilling life. So, you know, from a specialist standpoint, you know, I get the privilege of, you know, having the primary care physician screen the patients, you know, who they're sending me and for what reason.
Right.
You know, so when the patients come see me, there's a specific goal that we're trying to get done. And I'm fortunate that, you know, usually I get the report from the primary doctor of what the patient's main complaint about, why they're seeing me. So when I see a patient in my office, I tell my patients, look, you know, set your goals. You know, what exactly do you want to get out of this visit? You know, and I think that's the main thing. I like my patients leaving happy. If their main goal of why they came to you is not accomplished, they're going to put a bad review on you on Yelp or something. Like,
right.
I'm going to become one star or something right. like that. So I make sure that, you know, at the end of my visit with the patient, I ask them, like, hey, did we reach the answer that you were looking for? Or, you know, did we accomplish fulfilling whatever questions you had? So that way, you know, the patient leaves empowered. You know, I think it's good for the patients to look things up on the internet, you know, beforehand, because everyone does that. Everyone, you know, now it's so easy to Google on your computer or your right. phone. So, you know, I don't know about you, Dr. Patel, but some of my patients come with like a dictionary of, you know, random websites. I don't know who created or who wrote or yes. what. So I tell my patients, look, you know, definitely look things up on the internet. It's good to have an idea of, you know, what your primary care doctor is saying that you have. So that way you're educated before you come see me. But also be judicious about your internet research. Make sure, you know, the websites you're going to are websites that are trustworthy. Otherwise, we're going to be talking for the 15-minute visit I have with you. I'm going to have to be like saying, look, all these websites you went to are wrong.
Right.
You know, that all this information you have is actually backwards. It's not like this. And then we're going to waste our time in terms of finding the answer for your problem. So I like my patients to keep a list of their problems, but also be realistic. If you come to my office and we have 15 minutes for a problem, but you have 20 different problems or 20 different areas of pain that are hurting you, it's not realistic for me to say, hey, you know, in this one visit, we're going to be able to solve all these problems. Pick, you know, the one or two main problems
most
that really
important.
Most important, and let's get those done. And the next visit, we'll tackle the
correct.
the other problems.
That's correct.
Because, you know, quality is more important than quantity again.
I think what you're addressing, and just as people, when, you know, when you're in pain, you want the pain to go away.
Right.
You know, when you have an issue or a problem, you want it solved. But I think that's a good point about setting expectations. It's not just about the caregiver setting expectations and helping you achieve your goal.
Right.
It's about, as you prepare to go to a doctor, doctors are there. They want to help.
Right. Yeah.
But we need to be responsible for ourselves to a great degree.
Correct.
And come a little bit more prepared. And I know as a not medical person
yeah.
that I don't know what I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But I can take a couple of those steps that you're talking about and go to more credible sites to learn a little bit more about what I think my issue is, so I can have a smarter conversation.
Correct.
When I do sit down with a specialist, that's the hardest thing for somebody to do, is to say, okay, I've got to take that first step
right.
and actually do this.
Right.
Because if you don't, the consequences are probably a little bit tougher.
Correct.
You're right.
So I'm encouraging our listeners, take responsibility for what you need to do. But as you prepare for your doctor's visit, you'll probably have a far better experience than you think you're going to have. But go in a little bit more knowledgeable
right.
to help yourself.
Right.
How about, and that touches on fear.
Yeah.
We were talking about this before
right,
we
yeah.
started to record the, you know, our segment
right.
on this. Can you address fear and how to help people actually who might want to go, but they're just not sure? Maybe we can give some tips today
yes,
right,
that
yeah.
will help those folks.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, I've got a lot of patients who do come in, and you know, the first thing they say when their blood pressure is way above the normal range, and they say it's white coat hypertension, you know, and there is a little bit of that there, you know, and what that just means is that they're so anxious of being at the doctor's. And you know, sometimes I tell them, I'm like, I'm not that bad looking, but a lot of it is just the fear of what if they find something, you know, what if there's something wrong with
the
me?
Unknown.
The unknown. So I have a lot of patients who tell me, like, I haven't gotten labs or I haven't gotten my blood work done because I just don't want to know. I have a feeling something's going to be wrong. Well, and I understand that fear. I absolutely understand that fear. But if we don't check, then how will we know? And if we catch it early, maybe we can prevent it. So it's kind of the fear that you have with the doctor's visit. Talk to your doctor. You know, get to know, if it's a new, if you're going in as a new patient, as a new doctor, learn their personality or get to know them and see if that doctor's a fit for you. I always tell my patients that, I may not be your doctor. I will do everything I possibly can, but if we don't click, if we're not on the same page, then we're not helping each other. It's right. Just basically, I don't mean to sound mean, but you're wasting your time, yep, and mine, right, as well. You know, so you have to find a doctor where you get comfortable with. So a lot of these issues, I tell my patients, I'm like, look, talk to me when you're ready, especially certain things that are, personal. And the health, personal health issues, and whether it be mental or physical, I tell them, get to know me. So they see, until they gain that trust from me and I see what they're comfortable with, it takes time. So it may not happen over the first visit, the second visit. It might take half a year. And then you get comfortable with the patient. And I've seen it. I've seen where patients have gotten comfortable with me, and no longer do they have the high blood pressures when they were coming into the office. And I don't throw medication at them immediately. You know, we figure out things where we monitor things at home, and I give them ways to kind of be away from the office and check on their own health. So it and then keep records of, for instance, their sugars or their blood pressures, and bring that and drop it off at the office, and they don't have to see my white coat and fear it, So but getting comfortable with your doctor is important, and that fear will go away.
I think the word, one of the words I've heard used in the healthcare industry, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, both in our first segment and this segment. Again, when I was growing up, and as I've gone to doctors for years, the word, the term caregiver started to be introduced into the healthcare industry. And I think part of that was to help folks who are thinking about going to doctors, who have had excellent experiences with doctors. They go, boy, he cared, or she, right, cared. It was great. And the term caregiver evolved and grew. And that's, my view of the healthcare industry is that, it's okay to trust your caregiver. Doctors are very busy people, but so are people who go to doctors. Right, and that's, right, okay to understand that everybody is experiencing the, right, same, yeah, issue. So when you do make that decision to go to your caregiver for specialty reasons, mm-hmm, or for, basic wellness preparation or what's happening with me, it's okay to make that decision and take that first step. And tell your friends and tell your family and your grandparents, right, and everybody else. Correct. We've got just a couple more minutes, so I wanted to make sure that we touched on follow-up care once you have gone to a doctor. What should folks be thinking about for that part of visiting a doctor?
Yeah, so, it goes back to what Dr. Patel was touching. On that fear topic, just to briefly say, I just want the listeners to know that they're not alone. This is actually, the fear of going to see a doctor or a dentist is very common. There's actually a diagnosis for this as well. It's called iatrophobia, which is the fear of caregivers or doctors.
What was that word?
Iatrophobia. Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah.
I looked that up this morning.
So the one thing is, don't think you're alone by thinking that, you're nervous or anxious to go see a doctor. It's very common. But taking that first step where you build that trust relationship with the doctors, very important. Once you have that trustful relationship with the doctor, everything else is seamless. Then you're getting your preventative care on time, and you just have that trust of that doctor that, what he's recommending or she's recommending, it's the best for you. And I think that's, where follow-ups are made easier and things like that, because you actually trust what the doctor's saying. You think the source of information the provider is giving you is reliable. And you're going to take that to heart because they're doing what's best for you.
Wonderful.
Correct.
Dr. Patel.
He nailed that. So he took away my little ending there. So, I want to say that if there's issues, if there's concerns, talk to your doctor about it.
Right.
It's simple.
It's that simple.
If you have to be comfortable not just with the doctor, but the staff as well. And if you're not comfortable with a doctor, it's time to go look for a new doctor. And it's absolutely, I'm going to go back to what I said before, it's absolutely important that you do trust your doctor, you rely on your doctor, and they know what your goals are too. You know, quick time is that, for instance, if you're someone that's just absolutely opposed to vaccinations, you know, or medications, that you need to let your doctor know that up front. But this is I will oppose it, and they will tell you, like, they're going to tell you, I can't do anything for you, or they'll say, okay, I'm okay with it. So you have to find a doctor that fits your goals.
Right.
That's very important. So,
and take that first step.
Yes,
right,
absolutely.
Our very special guests for today, Cy, on the community topic of healthcare, are Dr. Himanshu Patel and Dr. Samir Nair. Both are representing a Choice Medical Group, which is located in the Victor Valley. We're broadcasting throughout Southern California. We just happen to be using studios for some of our radio stations here in the Victor Valley. But healthcare is worldwide. It's nationwide. It's here in California. It's here in the Victor Valley. And I thank you very much for being here. For those who remember the first segment we did, we're going to be doing a lot more topics. The doctors and I are going to be figuring out what other topics might be of serious importance to our listeners. And we thank you for tuning in to Eye on the Community.
Thanks again, Jeff.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.